This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend, Jeremy Zakas. He's in New South Wales. We've celebrated cricket, but now we turn to El Nino. What I'm seeing is a cold snap that is warm and wet weather that includes rain bombs. I'm confused, Jeremy. What's been happening?
It has been like whiplash all week here, John, I tell you. Honestly, it is supposedly a very dry winter right now, but we've just gone through days of rain where we've had just constant rain that has been, it's been a deluge. It hasn't been light by any means. In South Australia, for example, the central part of Australia there, they actually had rain so heavy that it caused problems to the power grid in Adelaide, the capital city, and actually shut down power for around about 4 hours on Wednesday and Thursday. So this is supposedly our dry winter. And then we've suddenly had the warmest winter on record so far. Yet in Canberra, just to the south of us here, they had a record that had been held for 37 years, a record cold morning of -7 degrees Celsius. So we're talking around about, 10 degrees Fahrenheit, something that we just don't get in Australia on any given winter. So our warm winter is cold. Our dry winter is extremely wet. And the forecast for this coming week is we're about to get more rain and cold days. So, John, we do have El Nino, but I'm confused. This is not the El Nino we're expecting, but I think what it actually is, and this is truly what we've been warned about, is this is just the start of the wild swings in weather. So while we've had a pretty wild and wet start to this winter, what we're about to get is a very dry, very warm winter, which is going to lead into a very dry, very hot summer. So unfortunately, I don't think we're going to have much more water anytime soon.
I'm looking at the rainfall on Adelaide and the surrounding area. What is that called? Port Lincoln, Maitland, Kingscote. Is that how you say that? Kingscote?
Yes, that's correct.
And Meningie. All heavy rain. That's on the coastline in the south, right? Adelaide is about midway across the continent.
And that's correct. And what that rain band actually was it was basically a very heavy rain system that came in from Western Australia but travelled over the Great Australian Bight. So it's a part of ocean that is just to the, I guess you could say, to the southern part of Australia but not a long way south. So it's kind of in the coastal areas. And it picked up a lot of power through there and a lot of moisture. And as it came across to hit the coastline of South Australia, the warm air that was coming up from the ground, the land itself, caused a lot more moisture to be put into the atmosphere, which suddenly created this massive atmospheric event that created a lot more water. And then, of course, us here in the East Coast, as we always like to say, Adelaide gets rain one day, we'll get it typically the next or a couple of days later. We then copped exactly that same rain band that came through, and it kept relentless rain going for at least a couple of days towards the end of the week.
Before we leave Adelaide, I'm reading a new book, a wonderful book about the koala. And it's written by a biologist who lives in the Adelaide Hills. Where is that on my map? Is Adelaide Hills all around Adelaide? Is that inside the city?
No, actually, it's all around it, John. If you look at the city of Adelaide on the map, just look a little bit to the right, and the Adelaide Hills basically border it to the east there, and they kind of curve around to the southern part and then sort of track to the northeast as well. But the Adelaide Hills are only a 10-minute drive from the city centre, so very, very close. You're very much in typical Australian bushland at that point.
And apparently the whole area is one great big koala ranch. Is that right? Koalas everywhere.
That's correct. And what he's probably referring to is actually Cleland National Park and the Mount Lofty Ranges, which is exactly that. It's a massive habitat for koalas and has been since, from memory, the 80s, growing up in Adelaide. I remember the koala conservation programs growing up. And on school trips, we used to go up to Cleland and into the Adelaide Hills to see the koalas. So it's well known. And Adelaide is very famous for its koalas because it's one of the places where koalas can thrive when looked after properly.
Koalas used to be on the East Coast in Queensland and Sydney and New South Wales. Over the last decades, they've moved to South Australia. Nobody's quite sure why, just koalas do what they're going to do. And Jeremy, the koala is quite unusual. I've learned that it's phylogenetically sterile, which is a way of saying there's no other animal like a koala, just as we Homo sapiens are phylogenetically sterile. There's no other Homo sapiens, no other mankind like us. So we share it with koala. I'm also learning that the koala is a
motto, simple.
Is a
scratch
very,
it. Expensive
is a very
chair.
Very strange animal. It eats only eucalyptus, and it likes the eucalyptus at a certain type of day when it's not bitter and sharp. Did you know all that growing up in Adelaide, Jeremy?
We actually learned that in school, believe it or not. And that was a wonderful thing about growing up in Adelaide. My primary school, my high school, we're actually in the Adelaide Hill foothills, so very close to where a lot of these areas were. And we grew up learning about koalas. The house I grew up in was next to a national park. So I actually saw a lot of koalas in my youth. And I got to learn when they would come out during the day, when they would basically be out at nighttime too, because koalas, most people don't realize, they actually have quite a low growl. You can hear them during the nighttime, and they make a lot of noise, especially when they're trying to warn off predators or attract mates. So the koalas are a fascinating beast, but a lot of people don't realize too that they're not as cuddly as they look. They're actually quite savage if they feel threatened. And they do have very, very sharp claws, which they use to great effect. So while we were allowed to hold some koalas in the conservation park, the reality was if we saw one in the wild, we gave it a wide berth. And they're not the fastest moving creatures, and they're typically about 5 meters off the ground in the tree, but they were absolutely fascinating. And I think I was lucky to be able to see them in the natural environment, because they truly are a remarkable creature.
A detail. You drove in Adelaide. There are these scenes in the book. It's quite wonderful, where a koala wanders in the middle of the road and traffic comes to a stop. This is on a country road. Everybody's waiting for the koala to continue. It cannot be rushed. Did you have that experience that you koalas keep their own time? They don't pay attention to what humans want.
Yes, in fact, I had that own experience myself quite a couple of times, actually probably more a handful of times in my own street, because we lived in a cul-de-sac which kind of abutted the national park. And to get out of it, there's only one way to get out. And at the very end of our street, there was bushland on either side as well, where basically the houses stopped for a little while, and there was basically bushes. And koalas would often be crossing the road there. And you would have to, as we came over the hill, be wary not to run into a koala, because once a koala makes a home somewhere, they want to stick there, and they don't recognize the road rules. And we'd had a koala family that lived there my entire childhood, certainly living in Adelaide, and they would cross the road. And you're right, you have to stop. And the thing is too, while they do move slowly, they can be a little bit irrational. So you really want to wait till they're off the road and basically clear of the car. So you'd stop the traffic, and the traffic genuinely would stop. So I can attest, John, this is a very, very Adelaide thing, very Australian thing.
Back to the climate. It is wintertime. Where is it snowing?
John, it is snowing literally all around, I guess you could say, the western part of the eastern seaboard right now. It's in the Blue Mountains here in New South Wales. When you go down south to our snowfields around Cooma and Mount Kosciuszko, which is just on the top border of Victoria there, so the bottom right of the map, there is snow there. But the tricky part is the snow is not as heavy as what we are used to. So while it's relatively constant at the higher altitudes, it is falling on the ground. It's not quite enough, for example, to have a very good snow season, which is how we measure it here in Australia, because the snow season is such a big part of our tourism. So this, I think, is a warning about the warmer weather coming for winter. And I think that might be the biggest tell we have. The snow is happening, but it is not happening as hard as it should be. So I think, El Nino is on our doorstep.
I mentioned, Jeremy, that a summer has started here, but it hasn't turned hot yet. We had a cool spring with very little rain. Some days it would rain sufficiently to get to the vegetation the next day. In other words, odd, just odd. Nothing as strange as what you're reporting, but odd anyway for a summer start in New England. Jeremy Zachas, he's in New South Wales. He used to live in Adelaide. That's why I spend time talking about the koalas. It's my new book to talk to the author next week, Jeremy. So I'm going to be filled with koala stories when we talk next week. We're going to the Reptile Report. I understand this is scary if you don't want to come along. There are unusual events going on in Australia with snakes right now because of the huge rainfall that gave them a lot of mice to eat. So they're still out there prospering. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.